The Book of Acts, Chapter 17, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts Chapter 17, verse 1. Now, when they, and the they refers to Paul and Silas, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. There was a synagogue in Thessalonica, and as usual, that will be the first place Paul goes to preach Jesus. And also, as usual, some Jews will believe, most will not. And of course, nothing has changed. It's the same today. Some believe, most do not. Verse 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went into them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scripture. Paul reasoned from the Scriptures concerning Jesus. See that you do not get distracted in discussions concerning Jesus Christ, but that you always stick to the Scriptures and reason about Jesus from the Bible. Always direct people's attention back to the Word of God. Make the Word of God the important issue. Verse 3. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach to you is Christ. Paul told the Israelites that their idea of the Messiah was incorrect. Now remember, he's doing this in the synagogue to a Jewish audience. He's telling them that their idea of a Messiah is not the correct one. He's not a political deliverer as they thought. He came to offer himself as the sacrifice for our sins. And they should have known that because it was written in the Old Testament. He reasoned about this from Scripture. Verse 4. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Paul the Apostle proved from Scripture that what he said about Jesus was correct. And yet only some of the Jews believed. Verse 5. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took to them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. The Jewish leaders were jealous of Paul and Silas because some people left their religion to become Christians. Consequently, they incited some useless troublemakers off the street to form a mob and go after Paul and Silas. The devil gets angry when people follow Jesus, and he stirs up trouble for those who preach the word that makes it happen. Verse 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren to the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come here also." And actually, in what they accused the apostles of doing, they were completely wrong. They got it wrong because the world is already upside down. The world is all messed up because of sin. The Word of God and Jesus Christ sets the world right side up. Problem is, people are so used to doing things that the wrong way and thinking about things the wrong way, that they get thrown for a loop when the right way comes along. 7. Whom Jason has received. Now they're blaming Jason too. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there's another king, one Jesus. So they imply that the apostles were plotting against Rome. Well, that's the very strong implication. And that was a lie, because Christianity is not about politics. Christianity is about preaching salvation through Jesus Christ. It's about holiness. And Jesus never told his people to overthrow the government. If anything, he said, submit to the government. Pay your taxes to the government. And on and on. Verse 8, and they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. You know, the people were fine with Christianity until the jealous Jews stirred up trouble with their lies. A few troublemakers can make life miserable for God's people. Verse 9, and when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. The man Jason had to post bail before the disciples could be released. Verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night to Berea, who coming there went into the synagogue of the Jews. Trouble did not dampen Paul's enthusiasm for Jesus Christ or for the Word of God. He just kept preaching the Bible. He established the church in Thessalonica and suffered for it. But he just moved on to another city called Berea, and he's going to do the exact same thing there. Verse 11, these were more noble, the people of Berea, than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And you can't ask for anything more than that. The Bereans measured Paul's words by the Bible, and they are said to be noble because of that. Do not accept or reject anything someone says just on the basis of who they are or how you feel. Even the apostles' words had to square with Scripture. And God commends them for that, for doing that. 12. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Notice, after examining the scriptures, many of them believed. If an unbeliever will prayerfully, carefully, and sincerely examine the scriptures, God will reveal truth to them and eventually lead them to Christ. 13. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timothy abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a commandment to Silas and Timothy for to come to him with all speed, and they departed. So Paul leaves Berea in haste and goes to Athens. And of course, he's ready to preach Jesus there as well. And by the way, the best scholars of the day, the very best scholars and statesmen and military minds were in Athens. It was the top city in the area of philosophy, education, and the arts. So this is where Paul is. Just so many different contrasting places that Paul preached the gospel to. And verse 16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. The city of Athens, that was considered the home of wisdom and art, was also spiritually blind and spiritually insane. They were drunk with idolatry and superstitions. Satan had a stronghold on Athens. It was filled with sophisticated, high-sounding, spiritual nonsense. 17, therefore, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. The marketplace was sort of like the morning coffee shop of today. This is several years ago. I used to work in downtown Wausau. And I guess this is probably 40 years ago now. And there was some of you will remember Kresge's. I mean, every downtown used to have a dime store, Kresge's or Woolworths. Well, Wausau had both of them. But the Kresge's dime store had this huge cafe. And some of the seats were in a straight line, and then some were like a horseshoe. It was just a real large cafe-type setting where most of the people, it seems like, who worked downtown would come every morning for their coffee and some of Kresge's famous donuts. Or, you know, some breakfast or something. It was really cheap. And then you sit around for an hour and solve the world's problems, you know. I mean, that still goes on in different types of coffee shops around the country, I'm sure. Well, see, that's the way it was in Athens. And the marketplace was their Kresge's. And the regulars gathered in the marketplace every morning, and they discussed issues and solved the world's problems. The marketplace was where the men met to talk about things and to debate issues. And this is where Paul shows up. This is good. Verse 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some, "He seems to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection." The Epicureans were atheists. The Epicureans lived to satisfy whatever they hungered for. Their philosophy would be, let's just let her snap. The Stoics were the opposite in many ways. They believed in not God, but they believed in gods. Even though they had some screwy ideas, like they thought the gods, well, it was screwy to believe in them anyway, but they thought the gods were, indifferent. But the Stoics, unlike the Epicureans, were very strict. And so they were the exact opposite of the Epicureans in their philosophy of life. And they believed in self-discipline, self-control. And so Paul is in the midst of these two different types of philosophies. And we'll see how he handles it next time.